I went to an employment agency and gave my references and what I could do, and they didn't have any work. Because they said that by the war was over and that there was no longer, you know, there were no jobs. And she said, that was the first time I think I started to form a few fears about working again. She says, there is a job at the gas company. And she says, it's a good entry job, but it's working in the kitchen. She says, it pays well. And she says, do you feel strong enough for that? And the money was good and the benefits, the gas company pays well. So I went home and I asked the girl if she would take care of Terry for me and I would pay her. And then when Roy was home, he would take care of her. See? So she would. She said she would, and Roy said that he would. So I took the job, and it was at a canteen, is what it was, at the Southern California Gas Company that does no longer is a big warehouse in Los Angeles. And I took it for the money, not for the job, because working in a canteen isn't easy. So till they started me, I mean, after all, I had always had these dreams about working in an office, you know. But I figured, well, I've been doing housework, and now I do dishes, and I know how to clean. So who am I to want office work?
What made you want to go back to work?
We needed the money. And I always wanted to keep my foot in there. I didn't really want to drop out of the job market completely. I think I was hoping that I would be able to work again. And somehow, maybe, raise Terry, too. I was beginning to incorporate my sister a little bit because Stella was not working. So I worked at the canteen, and they started me out washing dishes. And every 15 minutes, they had a break. So that meant that every 15 minutes, I got millions of cups, saucers, and pie dishes. You know, out they went. 15 minutes, they had their break, and then back they came dirty. And I had to have them, they had sets, you know, where you just, and I worked so hard. And then, so anyway, a week of dishwashing, a week at the cash register, and a week passing out the food. And that's how they trained you, you know, and then back to the dishes, and then everybody took a turn at doing all of that. And I didn't like it. I didn't mind anything else, but the washing of the dishes, I had a dishwasher, you know, and I had to keep, oh, and so I hated it, and I should have stuck it out because an opening might have come up where I could have maybe gotten my foot in to mail, I found out. You know, you always find things out when you're on your way out. But anyway, I dropped. I quit. I told Roy that I hated the job, so I quit.
After how long?
I think I was there about 6 weeks. If I had stayed a little bit longer, I think probably I would have gotten a little bit better job. But to me, it was inhuman. I mean, I felt very, very put down, you know, washing dishes. I used to just hate it because I used to wear a special apron. Made me feel, well, you know, like dishwashers. And then, of course, then there was a tremendous responsibility when I got on the cash register because you had to be so accurate. It was a very demanding job. And then at 4 o'clock, they closed the canteen about 3:30, and that's when the real work began because we had to clean it down. We had to wash it down with Bon Annie from top to bottom. Everything, all the cupboards, everything. So I worked. It was very hard work. So I got home, then I had to fix dinner and take care of a baby. So
did you get any help at all from Roy doing the house?
No. No, he didn't really ever, he never helped me. I used to come home to a dirty house when the baby was, I mean, filthy baby, you know. And, I mean, no bath, dirty clothes, dirty house, dirty dishes. And so I asked him, I called him at work one day when I just absolutely hated it. And I said, I think I want to quit. And he says, well, go ahead. Quit. So I gave my, what do you call it? I had to give them a notice. So she was very disappointed, the lady, because then she says, well, will you stay until we can replace you? We have to train somebody. And then after they hired somebody, I was very happy that she did this. She says, I know why you don't want to work here. She says, you could do better. She says, she was so nice. She says, you did very well on the cash register. Thank God. And she says, you're a good worker. She says, but you don't belong here. Now, why couldn't something had been done, you know, well, I mean, they could have, she shoved me on a little bit, given me some little encouragement, shoved me out of that canteen and into delivering mail or something. But I was on my way up. They already had a new girl. So I stayed home, and I had a very strong mother instinct. I wanted to be home with my baby, too. I felt she was being neglected. And so I stayed home. And then I started to think that she was lonely, seeing my own head. And I asked Roy, you know, wouldn't it be nice if Terry had a brother or a sister? She looked so lonely in her playpen. And he said, yeah, I'd like to have a son. You know, by then we were closer and we were working together. And so we both then did try for a son. And it was a girl. And this time around, this little baby looked like me, and she had the dark hair and the brown eyes. And I feared for her, you know. I was afraid that she would not be as well-liked as the first one had been.
Was your pregnancy easier the second time?
No, well, it was all right while I was carrying her. We had to keep our weight down in those days. We belonged to Ross Luce, and we were weighed all the time. I was very anemic. And so, of course, I had to take the vitamins, the iron. And I never gained more than 14 or 15 pounds with either child. So that isn't very much. It's all baby almost. No, it wasn't easy because I still had I had another child, you know, and fighting anemia.
Was his attitude different?
Well, he was hoping for a boy by then. His mind had been changed and he was thinking of a son. You know, when they told me it was a girl, I thought, oh my God, you know, it's a girl. And then she was of a darker complexion. So again, the fear sets in a little bit. Oh, gee, it's a girl, they're not going to like her. And again, your protective instincts come forward, oh, but I love her. And then I had two little babies to take care of. And Mrs. Price, right off the bat, said, this one looks like you. You know, and she didn't seem too pleased.
How did Roy respond?
Disappointed. Because it was another girl. He did want a boy. But anyway, up 6 months before Jeannie was born, we started looking for a house. Because we only had one bedroom, and that would have been, you know, a little bit too much. So the track houses were springing up everywhere, and I was dreaming of a home. And so he too thought, I have to give him credit for trying and doing. It must have been hard, because he did have nerves, a problem with his nerves. And so he said that the fellows at the fire station all were moving to the valley. And we were too. And this is the only place we ever looked, was the valley. I finally got so big, you know, after a while, just with the other one, I said, nothing ever suited him. I would have taken anything just about. And they were all about 10,000 anyway. It's just, and we didn't know the valley from nothing. You know, we didn't know what the good areas were, or what the bad areas were. And he ended up finding the house that we bought, and that was Panorama City. He'd been out one day, and he came home, and he said, "I saw several houses, and there's two I like, and I want you to go back with me tonight and take a look at them." So we got there to around, well, we had dinner and rushed out, and there were two. One was in Pacoima. Thank God we didn't buy that one, because now it's a very bad area. Too bad. But the other one was Panorama City, and all I could think about, well, it's a little bit closer to home. It's not as far out. It took forever to get there, a good hour from where we live, because there were no freeways. It was all side streets. And, oh, God, I was thinking so far away from everybody. But it was a home, and so we bought it that night. We both had, I think, $50 on us. And we gave the realtor the $50 to hold it until we could borrow the rest. You know, $500 was all we needed to buy the house. That was the down payment. And even as low as the payments were, they were $63. That was too much, because he was only clearing $50 a week. And we had two babies to feed, and ourselves. And so we borrowed the down payment, and we borrowed a little more. That was why he ended up with $50 a month, was because we borrowed for some furniture. We didn't have, the place that we had was furnished. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything. Not even our own bed. So we bought the furniture cash. We went to discount houses and we bought everything at discount, you know.
What was the house like?
It was a track house that looked beautiful. The model home was the most beautiful thing in the world. And I had dreams of furnishing it. The way they, when I was looking at through all the discount houses, I kept thinking how they had furnished it, you know. I kept trying to remember what they had in it. Well, all we bought was a bed and a chest of drawers. We bought a sofa, a pink one, and a chair, pink one, and a gray carpet, pink and gray, and a stove. We already had a refrigerator. Oh, and we had to buy a dining room, little dinette. Everybody was buying those chrome dinette tables, you know. So we bought that, and that was our dining room. And no curtains, but they had anticipated us. They knew we were terribly, terribly poor, all of us. So they had put up Venetian blinds, so at least we had privacy. And that's all we had for years and years, was Venetian blinds.
What year was this?
1951. And we moved there into our track house when Jeannie was 5 weeks old. And it's so funny because, the house was empty. And no fences, no trees, nothing but dirt outside. Brand new inside, dirty outside. And we all moved in our own trailers. I mean, nobody ever used Lyons moving services. We were all moving in with our rented a trailer, you know, those with slats, you know. I forget the name of them. U-Haul. And our neighbors in the apartment building helped us move. We were that. Everybody was so nice. And the one that had taken care of Terry, you know, when I was working, took care of the two babies. Well, mind you, she was only 5 weeks old, and I was already lugging things over. I started packing a week after I got home from the hospital. I knew that it was going to take me a long time to pack everything and take care of the two little ones. And then they were so, so wonderful in the apartment that they had a big breakfast for us and sent us off. By then, everything was already in the house. So that was our send-off, was a breakfast. Well, that wasn't that nice. We slept in, it was a rented apartment, so we slept on practically a bare mattress. No heat, no light, no nothing that night. And then in the morning, they had us over for breakfast and waved goodbye. That was the last of my real close friends. I mean, where I felt that somebody would do that much for us. And it's different when you live in an apartment because your doors are right next to each other, you know. And so anyway, we moved into Panorama City, into the house, and boy, I could see the work that was ahead for us. And I knew that the babies came first. So I'm sure that your mother probably went through the very same thing that I did. You took care of the family first. And what time you had to spare, you spent outside working in the yard. And I found out, too, that everybody else around us was living on a shoestring. And so we got together with strangers. These people were from out of town, from other states, and totally strange. They were not really very happy, yet they were here. So they were a new breed for me.
What were their reasons for coming to California?
They were all here because their husbands had shipped out from San Diego or the West Coast, San Francisco and all. And the men had gone back home and raved about Southern California. And so somehow or other they had managed to find their way out to California. They had managed somehow to see the track home that we had seen. And so we all just fell in, right? But they were, almost every one of them were from Minneapolis or St. Louis or Chicago or, Points East. New York, lots of New Yorkers.
And were they about your age?
Yeah. But different backgrounds. Yet, it didn't take too long before we sort of looked at each other and we realized this was we had was one another. I still was trying to carry over some of the apartment feeling, you know, that we should help one another, you know, like we did in the apartments. However, these were homes, you know, that were quite a ways down. I mean, wasn't like an apartment. But anyway, I wanted a fence to keep Terry in. She was two and beginning to roam. I couldn't really keep, it was cruel to keep her in the house 24 hours completely. She had to get air, fresh air, you know. She was, and I don't even think I had a buggy so I could take Jeannie for a walk. And anyway, who could walk in all that mud? Even the sidewalks were covered with mud. And So I'm sorry that I didn't bring out some of the pictures because I did take a few. But everybody, you see, this was the norm. This was what everybody was our age was doing. The ones that we had known were moving, but they were moving to West Covina, and they were moving out to Whittier. But they were our friends. They were all going the other way. And I was very lonely. And, but I was very friendly. I always felt people were important. So I knocked myself out to make friends. And the more I became acquainted, the more I realized that these people were very well educated people. I don't know. All the husbands had degrees, and so they were set on, their minds were set on their careers. The wives were trying to live up to the, I don't know, the dream, the American dream. Beautiful, beautifully kept homes, right? Mm-hmm. Beautifully taken care of the children, you know, it's everything just so. And of course, I thought that was right, too. But my husband was not a college man. I didn't know very much about anything except what I had learned up till that point, up to that point. And I started to hear a lot of talk about, well, intellectual discussions. Whenever we had a gathering, it was a little, I could hardly understand the words, let's put it that way. I mean, very, very, one of them was a psychologist.
This is when you'd have gatherings with the husbands of the
Well, I think we would invite each other over to, I think they were testing the neighborhood. As far as I was concerned, they were all just great. I didn't know that I was so dumb. And really, eventually, the ones who became friends, close friends, were the ones the husbands approved of and who they had something in common with. You know, like the psychologist over here, like the accountant over there. And then they liked the couple that were both social workers with master's degrees. And then on the other side of the area was an engineer who was married to a social worker, which didn't do me any harm, to tell you the truth, because I just shut up and listened and started reading a lot. And then on the other side of them was a nurse and an administrator at Lockheed. And on the other side of them was a lawyer and radiologist, a girl who worked with x-rays, and, you know.
Did the husbands' careers have any influence on what wives were friendly with each other?
The wives were desperate to please their husbands, of course, the majority. However, the women were well educated. And after all, we were in there, I mean, we were starting a family, we were, that much we had in common. I mean, maybe Roy and I did not have the education they did, but we were soulmates, you might say, because we were trying to lay a foundation, a home. We were trying to be good parents. But I do think the women, I was left home with the women. We did the yard work, we cleaned, and then we ran in the house and tried to have a decent meal for our husbands. Of course, mine was different, because mine was a fireman. And he was home 24 hours, gone 24 hours. So when he was home all day, I catered to him a lot. We went to the park. We took the kids here, there, and everywhere. It was kind of nice. And he was kind of a novelty because he was home during the day, and the wives would be out. God, we could look in each other's houses because we had one big bay window, and that was until you got drapes up. We were living in fishbowls. And but what I liked about the people was that there was no gossip. There was no downgrading of anybody. We were all taken for what we were. And there was a lot of moral support for goodness. I like that. And I think it was because of their intelligence. And if we had fallen into another neighborhood where maybe they were too liberal, say, maybe I wouldn't have liked it as well. But, so, because, you know, I they were very creative people, of course they outdid me. I mean, in every way. I mean, in no time at all, they had beautiful gardens, and their homes were perfect, and mine wasn't.
Was that hard?
Oh, yeah, sure, I developed sort of an inferiority complex. I worked so hard, and it still wasn't really quite up to par. But it was clean. I mean, I tried. But they took a lot the psychologist, knew a lot more about child psychology, and I didn't even believe in child psychology. Didn't even know it existed, and I rather scoffed at it. I kind of thought, well, children will be children, I don't believe in all of that.
Did you ever read Dr. Spock?
I had been reading it, but I didn't like Dr. Spock. I disagreed with him. This was just my own personal feeling. I had another book that I liked better. Better Homes and Gardens baby book. And it was great. In fact, when my kids had baby showers for their friends who were having babies, I gave them that book because it is a good book. It's a good baby book. But I now the other like social workers and the rest of them were already thinking of college for their kids, and here they are babies. But already they're putting up the blackboard with the words, gearing them towards education. I wasn't. I thought life was just a bowl of cherries to be enjoyed, that they should play and have fun and run in the sun just live, And I just didn't think that they should be getting ready for college at at such a young age. However, as time progressed, I thought that Terry was getting a little behind with her peers, and I thought that the kids were, a little smarter than her, and it was true that they were probably being tutored a little better than mine were.
Did you spend a lot of time with the other women during the day?
Some, you don't get along with everybody. Not everybody's going to like you, and you're not going to like everybody. And we were testing each other out at first, eventually everybody just went to wherever they felt more comfortable. We had a lot of Jewish ladies in the block in back of us, and since we had chain link fence, we were continuously talking to each other. And there were some people who were racist. Now, that was a surprise. I don't know if what your nationality is or religion or anything, but I had always thought it was only the Mexicans and the, I didn't even know blacks very well, very few blacks. But I did know that there was discrimination against the black Mexicans. So of course I had a complex, and wondered if they would like me because I was Mexican, and just waited to see how they would treat me, and I tried to be nice.
Were there problems with that?
None that I could see. I think that I was not uncomfortable with those people at all. They were more, the Jewish women eventually came together because they were beginning to hear of the Nazi atrocities. And they formed a tremendous clique, and it was more of revenge, And that's all they talked about. They couldn't believe that this had been happening in Nazi Germany, and neither could I. And in my head, I thought, well, I thought it was just the Mexicans that the world hated, not hated, but looked down. The Jews? Why? I couldn't believe it. Because they were nice. They were so intelligent. And And they couldn't believe it themselves, I guess, as the news came out. And they started to organize more and more. So that really acted as a bond to draw them closer together. So I was left out. And I understood it, because I even thought, gee, maybe we should organize. But we don't. We don't. I think they are now. But they went on with that, and they are still active.
Who were your friends
I really leaned very much towards an Irish girl who was a nurse. She, her husband was a lawyer and worked at Lockheed, and Lockheed was completely out of my head at the time. But you see, they were so well spoken, you know, and she was so knowledgeable about medicine. And if I, you know, whenever I had anything that really, I didn't have a pediatrician, and I would ask her questions about illnesses and if the kids, you know, she was only about 4 years older than I, but she was so nice. And she had two little boys. And she wasn't too crazy about girls, my little girls and all the little girls. She liked little boys. And she told me, she said, later on, she told me, she says, you know, she says, I always, now I wish I'd have had a daughter because I didn't know it. She said, I didn't like little girls. I just liked the little boys in the neighborhood. So we all have our preferences. Still, she was very, she saved my life because she would look at the kids and tell me whether or not a cut was serious or if it had something in their eye and I didn't know what to do, she would tell me what to do. Frances was her name. She became everybody's nurse. Mm-hmm. The whole neighborhood was running to her.